Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm still Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters, but just for today.
Oh, what are you going to be tomorrow?
I don't know.
Okay. So all right, so we kind of talked about some dates of things coming up, so check your calendars.
Yeah, things coming up. Be a good little citizen.
And I know you mentioned the old-time baseball.
Yeah, let's just mention that right off the bat here, okay? So if you're, here's a nice little doubleheader for you. I'm going to try and make it a tripleheader.
Okay.
I think it's at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock
this
meet
Thursday.
In Lafayette Square. It's sponsored
Lafayette
by
Square.
Central Square Business Association.
Right, so that would be August 16th.
Right, Thursday at 5.
If
it's
you
a
meet
mural.
Lafayette
walk.
Square, which
right.
is right across the street from CCTV. And there's a mural walk, you know, because Central Square Business Association planning some nice things.
Is it potential murals or existing murals? Because I wasn't
I think
clear on that.
A little bit of both,
okay.
I think. But I don't know.
And then you end up at IDEO.
You know, the really yeah. hideous graffiti that's actually on top of Morris Nagar's building.
Oh, you want to show that again?
We can actually show it. Yeah, yeah. there we go. Right, that, which
ugly.
Some people say is Sims, I still think it says 54M5.
I think you're right. I always just saw it as Sims, like an old department store, and I said, no, couldn't
right,
be.
So anyway, that I think that there's some arrangement to have a really nice mural
cool.
go over that.
Cool.
So Morris Nagar has delightfully agreed to
Wonderful.
Allow that to
okay.
happen. I don't know what they're planning to do, but I actually was seeing some murals.
Well, we'll probably go down Graffiti Alley.
You know what I want to paint on that? I want to see a beautiful bird taking flight.
All right.
That's what I want to say there. Hmm. So if anybody's out there watching who can do these big murals while dangling like the Mount Rushmore artist from the top of a building while
you do
your art.
But you end up, you walk and end up there having food trucks and music, I guess, at IDEO,
which is
that very
Prospect
colorful
Street.
Building, catty corner, diagonally
right.
across from Whole Foods.
Exactly. Right.
The old Carberries.
Right, so that's starting right. at 5, so then they're having some gathering down there.
No, it's not the old Carberries, sorry.
Right. It's near the old Carberries,
right,
which became Lindell's, which is now...
Partners Urgent Care or
yeah,
something?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Before it was Carberries, it was also where I bought my tiles. Some of which I actually put up on my bathroom wall, and some of which
right.
are still
oh,
sitting in the
funny.
Box 30
that's
years
funny.
Later.
Oh my goodness.
He says with no pride in particular.
All right.
Right. No, I'm kidding around to it, I swear. I'll
so,
do it.
So okay. that was supposed to go from 6, whatever. So you could do both. You
right.
could go to the
so
baseball
that's like
game.
At 6. Now,
yeah,
I don't think I'm going to stick around that because
yeah,
I'm going
to
go for the,
you can go to the game.
The second of my triple headers. I'm going to go up to Patty's Lunch.
Oh, right.
Have
well,
a beer.
So you're going to leave at 6?
I'm going to try and get up there so and then have a beer over at Patty's and then
and
we'll
walk
over a block away over to
the game
St.
goes
Peter's
on
Field.
For a while. Yeah, right.
Old-time baseball
right.
game. You know, they do the introductions and whatever. And, you know, and it's like they've been doing it for like a couple decades.
Tim Wakefield, Lou Merlone. Does he always
Ray
show
Bork
up?
From
and Ray
Hockey
Bork
fame.
From the Hockey Fan. Yeah,
yeah.
I think
so,
I'm going to pass this year.
Yeah,
that's
all
right.
But, you know... I always enjoy myself
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, I went last year.
Play-by-play is
done. It was
done,
Pedro last year. That's why
is, and the scorekeeper is Glenn Kuchar, former host, originator of the original Cambridge Inside Out.
And Steve Buckley, does he talk?
Steve,
I know he sponsors it, but I don't think
a
he
little
talks.
Bit. You know, Steve Buckley is more of a behind-the-scenes guy, but
yeah.
he was, this is his thing. This
yes.
is what Steve Buckley puts together.
Well, maybe I'll go. I don't
and,
think so. We'll see.
Well, you can just wander in a little later, too.
Well.
So, anyway, so that's this Thursday, and it's always a good time, and a lot of people bring blankets and lawn chairs.
And I think the weather, it's going to be hot and sticky, but not rainy.
If it's not rainy, it'd be really great. So.
Yeah, I don't think there's any rain.
So, anyway, I always enjoy it. Even,
so that's
you know,
Thursday
and,
night.
And honestly, half the fun is there's the ball game, sure, but there's also just meeting and greeting everybody.
Yeah, and bring something to sit on,
yeah.
by the way, because it's just right. limited bleachers.
And they have auctions and everything.
Oh,
know,
and
so
good
you can
food.
Actually,
well,
you
know, I know it's good. It's
They have raffles.
Because they have groups that make money from the food.
There's
like
a guy, there's the Babe Ruth lookalike who shows up every year.
Oh, no.
And people take
really?
Photos of, you know, with
oh,
him.
I don't know
yeah.
about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's just.
Well, now
it's,
I'm thinking.
It's corny in a way, but it's great
okay.
in every other way.
All right.
You know?
Well, maybe.
So, anyway, if you're around, do it. It's really it's one,
I'd
of,
have
the,
to
one
drive
of the best things.
So,
so, anyway, so there's that's old time baseball game, et cetera.
Okay.
So, let's see. What else going on around town? Ah.
Well,
surveillance?
Public surveillance.
Okay,
I,
so that was today, Public Safety Committee?
No, it was yesterday.
No, it was ordinance.
At 5:30. It
That's
was an
right.
ordinance committee meeting, and I couldn't go, but I caught it later. On, thank goodness it was televised in
right.
video. I caught the rest today. And It was interesting. There was, you know, about the ordinance. Have you looked at the final?
You know what I remember when the original write-up of the proposed ordinance came in. It to me it looked like gibberish.
Oh yeah.
And it and then it got worked a bit.
I think city staff refined it. There's been two meetings, like April 17th, and then June 25th. And since then, lawyers have looked at it, and particularly they've met with the ACLU. So they spoke first. Cade Crocker, who's also very involved in the municipal broadband type stuff. Yeah. She was anyway. Yeah. She spoke, and they have four amendments that they asked to be included, which the council just got that day, I guess.
Okay.
And then the mayor, Mark McGovern, his office had two, basically one changing the language to be gender neutral.
All right.
And then the second was, the suing of individuals for invasion of privacy. In other words, that was controversial because if you look at the draft language, this is what the city wants to change. I mean, the ACLU wants an individual who feels like their privacy to be able to sue city councilors. That's how I read it, yeah. So the first reaction, Nancy Glaus, I'm pretty sure she said it because of our charter thing. You couldn't do that anyway because they don't have the... First, I'm getting things confused. The city council doesn't have the authority to actually... I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I'm going to back up. You need to look at the language. Yeah. But basically, they wanted to get rid of that. Or McGovern said, no, that's not... We can't say individuals. Or do you mean, you know, group?
Yeah, personal liability
is something. Right. Sort of like, yeah, it had nothing to do with the form of government.
Listen,
right.
I serve on a board of a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a historic preservation group up in Billerica. And for that particular group, if there was a problem, like we own a piece of a dam, mm-hmm. if there was a dam failure and there was some terrible thing, I mean, because we are incorporated, you know, there's a certain amount of, you know, you're not personally liability.
Because you're incorporated, right. But the city, I don't know how.
Right, so the thing is, you're right, so maybe the city council is obviously not incorporated, but the thing is, they act as a public body, and I think.
But the city, I guess, as a whole could be sued? I don't know.
Potentially.
For violating the ordinance. One of the issues they have to deal with.
Right, but the one issue I think you were touching on there is that people need to understand that's the way the government is formed here, right?
Right, because that.
So the thing is that
authority,
the police officers and you know, detectives and everything, and it varies, and other departments in addition to the police, they work for the city manager, right?
The city manager is appointed
by the city council. But the thing is that there is a prohibition against the city council from bypassing the city manager and directing
because of anything. Plan E charter.
It was largely written in order to protect against like problems with political patronage.
Yeah.
In other words, if I'm a city councilor and I just go I bypass the city manager and they say, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. Police Commissioner, I want you to put my friend Jimmy on the police force.
Couldn't that happen in a mayor elected system too? Patronage?
I mean, yes, it could and does. It does.
You know, that isn't a solution.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. You say, could that happen under Plan E? Of course it could.
But true.
But the thing is that.
But if the city councilor
actually bypasses the manager and strong arms a city department head and say, you got to hire this man or else, or there'll be consequences, that is a felony.
But who would report that? Who would know
that? Well, that's the issue, okay? But the thing is that if it was witnessed, and if the city wanted to pursue it, in fact, then the city councilor would be guilty of a felony. Okay, mm-hmm. And I'm only mentioning that not to scare anybody, but just to point out that the thing is there are, by design, these brick walls that are put in mm-hmm. under the charter.
Firewalls
to prevent the city councilor from jumping over and strong-arming people in the city department.
So the city council can appoint the city manager, and what's their other thing that they can do?
Technically, there's only three, but there's really four.
Okay, so...
So it's the city manager.
As final decision about a city manager,
that's it.
Okay.
The city auditor.
auditor.
Even though the auditor primarily by tradition now works mainly with the finance department. But the city auditor, who's Jim McMonagle, Jim will be there when they're doing the budget hearings, and in principle at least, you know, he works for the city council, so he has to sort of check everything.
Okay.
You know, now in these days of computers and everything and Excel spreadsheets,
so there usually isn't any controversy that position.
Right, so he primarily works, but he technically is an appointee of the city council.
And what's the third and fourth?
The city clerk. Now the fourth is, and really maybe there's even a fifth, right? There's the, and then actually maybe a few more now, right? We're sort of, you know, we're kind of graying the boundaries here.
I guess because they stay in their position so long, you don't realize
So it's, Donald Lopez, you're such a phenomenal city clerk
that
I merged with the name.
Right.
So Donald Lopez is the city clerk, but the deputy city clerk, and Donna was deputy for years.
Okay.
But the deputy city clerk also appears to get hired.
Oh, was it Paula?
Paula Crane is now in that role.
Oh, okay.
Right? I think, is the deputy city manager approved by the city council? Not really.
No, isn't she appointed by the city? No?
Hired by the city manager, right?
That's Lisa Peterson.
Yeah. But the thing is, now there's a staff person who runs the city council office is hired by the manager, but... Let's face it, you know that the city manager is not going to put somebody in there over the head of the city council. So they have a little strong influence in that one, I'm sure.
So there's a staff person for
And also the city council chooses their own aides.
Right, they have power to do that.
But really all, no, they don't really. What they have to do is recommend that I would like the city manager to hire, who then, of course, will do it.
Do they ever not? I mean, is it courtesy just to hire?
You know, it's never been tested. Back 15 plus years ago, when the city council aide positions were first created.
15 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
And they were $20,000 probably back then.
Part-time,
and now they're
And they were called research assistants
benefits. Yeah,
at the
right,
time.
Sure.
So, This is like,
oh,
you know,
okay.
Plan E slowly but surely gets crept into, right?
Can I ask, does the staff person for the city council have any, do they have meetings with the aides? I mean, it seems to me there should be some coordination there.
The way it has been,
yeah.
So when Sandy Ivano was in that position for, year,
That's
for
what
years,
I was trying to think of
Sandy kind of was sort of mother hen to the
right.
aides, so you had to report to Sandy.
I would think that would be helpful.
That is helpful.
Well, it's accountability,
right.
too.
Yes. Well, the thing is, that's who approves your timesheets and whatever.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it's done. So
it is done that way.
Right. So, but technically, it's just the three positions. Manager, clerk, auditor.
Hmm.
Right? That's it. Right? Now, of course, we began the discussion talking about surveillance ordinance. Because now, if you have an ordinance where, in fact, the police commissioner... based on, and this police department staff, based on great wisdom, we hope, decide that they need to use a certain kind of technology.
Right.
Right, which arguably might be viewed as
something new that hasn't been used. That this ordinance would ask that it be presented. They have the right to,
Well, the thing is that there's the dilemma.
They do.
If the city council... Should they have veto power over things like this? Because
exigent circumstances.
Right.
Exigent circumstances.
Yeah. So the thing is, if there's like a situation, let's say we're in the middle of a real situation, like the Marathon bombing or something, and the police department feel they in this situation have to act in a particular way, you know, then. I suppose the manager could say, well, I don't know about that, because they do work for the city manager.
Right.
They certainly don't have a free hand to do whatever the hell they please.
Right, but I think...
But the thing is that it's not like the police commissioner should or will be required to get approval of a city council for every decision he makes.
Yeah, issue of informing the city council the time period. Emergency acquisition versus put a time limit of 90, Zondervan said put a time limit of 90 days. Something like, if they needed this something right away, what's the
Right, so the thing
is
that so the proper role of the Cambridge City Council is as a policy-making body. You might not believe that sometimes to watch them in action, but that's what they're supposed to be doing. And arguably, a policy about... you know, level of surveillance or public intrusion or potential infringement of civil rights, you know, that is a policy area. So the city council obviously should have some say in that. And does that rise to the level where they should have say-so to say what equipment you're allowed to use or not?
Then that's where it got into the Plan E thing, because that gets into operations, and that's not
their operations.
Responsibility. And that's
so if the city council wants to pass a policy that says, you know, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do like here,
then
but it's not specific to this, and then the police commissioner says, okay, that was ordained, it's an city ordinance or whatever, then I guess they have to sort of, you know, be in sync with the policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably the simplest example of this is, so the Cambridge was a recipient of some cameras that were in fact installed on some tall buildings along
back,
major corridors.
From Homeland Security.
So this was several years back, and many
of
us thought it was a good thing.
Came about, right?
I think it's kind of like that was kind of the first shot across the bow.
Right.
But the thing is that cameras were installed and they were never allowed to be turned on because the city council took a vote that said that they didn't want to be turned on.
Are they still out there?
I believe they're still mounted and they've never been switched on.
And we don't know where they are.
You can see some of them. You just look up.
But that came up, I guess, in reference to where things would be and that you really couldn't let people know because then it defeats the purpose of maybe watching an area.
I mean, this goes back quite a while. I remember Marjorie Decker was still on the council when this issue was really heating up. And the biggest concern for Marjorie at the time, and others, not just Marjorie, was something that he called the fusion center. Sounds very like physics, right? So the idea was is that you gather data, and then it gets uploaded to some central data bank somewhere.
Right.
And then there's some mega software who's doing massive facial recognition things, and then they're
like China.
Basically tracking everybody. Uh-huh.
That was brought up because China. She had a photo of that. It was we know that.
And if you look at what's been in the news, was it like a week or two ago where several members they actually ran some whose software was it? Microsoft or Google software that ran against. The
Microsoft.
Congress, the United States Congress.
Yeah, they found.
And they found is it Chuck Schumer was implicated? I think was Bernie Sanders implicated? I don't know.
In what? What do you mean?
Well, nobody's really implicated, but basically they got ID'd as being kind of suspicious and maybe a possible match to some list of criminals.
Yeah, well, and then as I pointed out to you, which is sort of kind of related. In the globe today, Google tracks even when you tell it not to. So, you know, we can do all this, but meanwhile, your phone that's in your pocket, you can't even turn off where it is. So,
That's actually been the greatest comedy for me, is that some of the loudest voices who are concerned about surveillance
are carrying around
technology
these super data computers.
You know, are basically being tracked,
by everything. I mean, every time you use an app, I mean, you have to really diligently encrypt it. I mean, people are really into this, know how to do that, but most of us don't.
So, so there's a legitimate issue, like, what balance do you want to make?
And then I brought up to you about the CCTVs in London.
Right, which is not us, CCTV.
No, it's what is it again?
Closed circuit television.
Right. If you watch British mysteries or dramas or the tunnel, anything, the first thing that detectives will ask is there CCTV footage? That's how they track
down
things.
That's not us.
And apparently Britain, which is the land, I mean, that's where we came from. I mean, they don't, they accept this.
I didn't come from Britain.
Well, you know what I mean. Our democracy.
Irish
whatever.
And German with a little bit of French, thank you.
They consider themselves
right.
Anyway, it's a big issue.
I think it's an issue, and I'm
but
I'm
a lot of
it,
I think the main criticism was that it was not specific enough, the ordinance.
And I'll give credit to Nancy Glowa and the City Law Department for
and they're gonna keep working
checking
on
and making sure that things are done right.
Right.
So that the policymakers can make the policy, the police can have enough flexibility.
I need to correct myself with something about Mark. I was looking at the wrong note. Mark's was one about the gender language. The other one was, it was not the suing, although that came up. It was, where is it? Oh, the enforcement on whistleblowers. Something about what happens to whistleblowers and how are they protected. And I forget how he wants to change it, but that's this part of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there'll be a nice report based on this because they're going to include all the emails they got. They're going to include Richard Stallman's very lengthy email. They're going to include the public commenters. There are about four of them. that had some very good suggestions, and plus the hearing itself. So I'm sure they'll try to get that out soon.
I forget, we did mention sort of briefly in the last half hour that there are several city boards and commissions that have vacancies, and I'm sure there'll be more that'll be announced pretty soon. It's just that you wouldn't know about it because we're still on vacation for this Cambridge City Council. So we'll find out in mid-September about any new appointments and as well as any new vacancies. Mm-hmm. Actually, the city puts out a request for applications whenever they want to move on it. But I know there are some vacancies on some ones. So,
which ones?
Well, right now, I think the ones just to mention kind of quick here is that, well, we mentioned one is not a city manager. Most of these are city manager appointed. He's the appointing authority.
Mm-hmm.
But the mayor traditionally appoints what they sometimes call blue ribbon committees for various topics. I've actually served Mayor Vellucci. Al Vellucci appointed me to a water sewer advisory committee back in 1987, back then in Stone Age. So, but anyway, so the Mayor McGovern has created this Mayor's Arts Task Force chaired by Samuel Siddiqui. Alana Mallon. And in addition to, if you're interested in those kinds of topics, please apply.
Yes.
There's also the Human Services Commission, which is a little bit more of a mystery to most because it's a little off the mark. But there are a lot of the Department of Human Services programs is actually one of the biggest departments in the city. It includes things, even the recreation department, right? You know, running a lot of leagues and things.
Mm.
So there's a commission that actually deals with human services.
Okay, and that's September
and if you
7th,
have an interest in that, maybe a social worker here and there, you know, you might want to look into that possibility.
Second Thursday of each month from 5:30 to 7:30. The description's in there if you just look at the...
That's right.
And then there's the Conservation Commission.
There's the Conservation Commission.
Whoops.
Right, which...
that's right here.
Yeah.
And how long do they, when they hold two regularly scheduled public meetings each month? So that's two a month. That's permit applications under the WPA.
Right. And there have been people who are actually experts in things like wetlands and
this sounds like
law.
More like a planning board.
Right.
Almost the responsibilities.
It's actually, they have some binding authority that most of the city's boards and commissions don't have. Particular binding authority, they're more advisory, but this is definitely one that has
they
some
want
authority.
Residents with expertise at desire.
Right. I mean, they have to act within the law.
Architecture, civil, environmental, engineering, hydrology, ecology, or law.
Yeah,
I mean, courage to reply.
It is typically a sort of an expert panel.
Sure.
Right. And then there's a commission that was actually appointed, was created quite a few years ago.
The immigrant?
Yeah, it was a commission for immigrants' rights and citizenships.
Mm-hmm.
So that was created a long time ago, and it sat unappointed for years.
Wow.
And then finally,
Trump got
relatively
elected.
Recently, especially in light of some of the controversies, it was impaneled. And now they're vacancies, and they're actually looking for additional people.
And that deadline's sooner. That's the
August
that's a week 24th. From this Friday.
That's right. So that's coming up real soon.
But wait a minute. You know, this is important. The deadline to register, I think, is tomorrow. August 15th.
Actually,
so let's
mention it right here. So the thing is for those people who like to vote, which is all of you.
In the primary.
In the primary.
Specifically, September 4th.
Right.
Very important primary for...
Right.
Lots of things.
And by the way, and I should mention here that it's not just a matter of being registered to vote.
Mm.
It's also if you happen to be registered for a particular political party, but you want to vote in the other primary, probably not too many people doing that now. But for example, if you were registered to vote in the Green Party and then you showed up because you wanted to vote in the Democratic primary, you wouldn't be able to. Right? So many people just choose to be unenrolled, which gives you the option under Massachusetts law to pick whichever ballot you want.
You can do it online? Look at this. It says the Office of the Secretary of State has developed an online voter registration system. So to submit, you can still do it? Update their... Okay, so that's...
Right.
That's new, isn't it?
All right. I'm not sure, but the thing is that it's up till tomorrow. Tomorrow evening is the deadline
so
to do that.
You really need to do that. I'm just trying
right.
to go to that
so,
site.
So anyway, so that's coming up. And then, of course, we have the elections coming up September 4th.
Okay.
Right? You know, and I don't think we need to sort of go over who all those candidates are in there, but there are some real competitions that are happening.
Does that cover your? No, Mike Capione is not in your district.
I'm in the Catherine Clark district.
But I think I sent you. I was surprised at the it's 700,000+ residents, and I don't know how many are registered.
Right.
But it's quite large, and it's a lot of North Cambridge, which I didn't know.
Yeah, it's a very,
it's definitely
very long
Riverside,
gerrymander of a district.
And I've listened to two debates now. WBUR had a live one, but you can get it on their website. And the first one was WCVB. And then tomorrow night, Jim Browdy on his show, Greater Boston, is having a debate, which will then probably be on WGBH.
Right.
So I suggest you listen to
them. So the big matchups, if you're a Democrat, I don't even know what the Republicans are.
Well, Ayanna Presley and
But I'll just sort of... So there's Marianne Ryan and Donna Catalano for district attorney.
For Middlesex County,
so, yeah, so if you're interested in that one, look it up. Bill Galvin versus Josh Zakim.
That's statewide.
Statewide for Secretary of State. And the Democratic primary is Jay Gonzalez versus Bob Massey for the Democratic for governor.
I guess I forgot.
Mike Capuano versus Ayanna Presley for
And that's getting a lot of press because people are
district.
Comparing it to Alexandra.
I think that's kind of strategically be done to sort of grab
I know,
a
but
bit
it really is so different, I think.
It's completely different.
And people, I need to stress, she's a very interesting person, but she got 11% of people voted in that election. She won by 3,000 votes out of 27,000 cast.
I know. So people, but politics is all about perception.
And Mike Capuano is not taking anything for granted.
Not treating
and
that,
he
you
is
bet.
Working hard, and I personally do like him, and I think Presley is impressive.
And the last one is Jimmy Tingle versus Quentin Palfrey for Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're out of time.
So register if you haven't registered.
See you next week.
Bye.